Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to the Big Honker Podcast. Listen, everybody needs to stay caffeinated this time of year. Dirty Duck Coffee. It's the way we start our morning out here every single day with the Missouri Boat Ride Blend. It's a nice pecan flavor, pecan praline. Put it in my thermos with a little dash of peppermint mocha, white chocolate sometimes, you know.
It's like
I'm at Starbucks, Joe.
Get a little fruity on me. I love the Suns Up, Guns Up t-shirts and stuff. They got some cool swag. Check them out at dirtyduckcoffee.com.
Next, we are brought to you by Mr. Corey with Double T British Kennel.
Oh, great dogs.
Corey's got some great dogs out there right now. We ran them last year. Phenomenal dogs. They're great house dogs, great pets, but they also have a ton of drive in the field. So if you're looking for a puppy, a starter dog, finish dog, whatever you need, head over to britlabs.com. Contact Corey over there. Even if you just have a question, you know, something, maybe you're doing your own thing and you need some advice from a professional, Corey's always willing to lend a helping hand.
So. A very good person, great dogs, highly recommend britlabs.com. That's Double T British Kennels.
Next, we're brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. They just finished their Into the Vault sale. They crushed all the records. More money for conservation and wetland habitat. Listen, get involved somehow. Start a chapter, join a chapter, whatever you've got to do. Ducks Unlimited, put your dollars to work, and they're the leader in wetland conservation for a reason. They're great people. We had Jimbo Robinson out here, phenomenal guy. David Schuessler, great, great people, and they do a lot of work on behalf of waterfowl hunters from Texas up into Canada. They've always got our best interests at heart. So
they've got a new thing. Support them. Right now, make a year-end donation to Ducks Unlimited and choose your gift. So check them out at ducks.org.
Next, we're brought to you by Lucky Duck. I have ran the new spinner, the one that's got the black and white wings. And it makes a big difference because ducks can see that black and white flash, like Jeff's been saying for years on this podcast. They can see it better. So we've been doing those. We've had a couple of duck hunts that have gone really, really well. They've got a new rotary out that we've ran a couple times, had some success. They've got kennels that are 5-star crash test rated, so you can feel confident whenever you put your four-legged hunting buddy in the back of your pickup truck in a kennel. If something bad were to happen, they're protected.
Extend your hunting season. Everybody, whenever the waterfowl season's over, go out there and get you a Lucky Duck varmint call and start shooting them coons. Help the turkeys out. Help the quail population out. Shoot the coons.
And that's at luckyduck.com. You can get whatever you need. The new spinner, A-frames, they got a lot of cool stuff for 2023, 2024. So check them out, luckyduck.com. We're also brought to you by Boss Shot Shell. Bismuth is the way to go. Get that lead out of here, and it's a lot better than steel.
And if you want some Boss swag, you need to call the shop, and you can order it direct from them at the shop. And that's at bossshotshells.com. Also, get ready to stock up. Got turkey loads coming. Get the Boss Tom. Turkey season, believe it or not, is only 4 months away.
It's not very far away. I am in love with the War Chief. I mean, it is hard hitting. There a lot of research and development went into this shotgun shell, and it makes a difference out in the field. So, also, we're brought to you by Pacific Calls. You can use our promo code BHP25. Will save you 25% at checkout. That is site wide. Whatever you want, whether you're getting honker calls, spec calls, duck calls, turkey calls. Whatever you're getting, swag, it still applies. 25% off. There's nobody else out there that is going to give you 25% off. I mean, it's a steal, and everybody needs to take advantage of it. PacificCustomCalls.com. You can fill up your shopping cart. Use the promo code at the very end, BHP25, 25% off. They are great guys. You can always get a hold of them if you have any issues. Use the promo code BHP25. We would love to see your lanyard full of Pacific Calls. Next, we are brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries. The hunting has turned here, so I am now running some of the fully flocked specs. And got to tell you, first couple of times, made a difference. Birds were actively trying to get to the fully flocked decoys. I'm a fan. I know what I'm ordering next year. More fully flocked decoys. DiveBombIndustries.com. They're great people over there, and they have been with us since basically the beginning of this show. So head over there.
Good people. Go check it out. Cody Stokes, Asher Tolliver, done a great job. DiveBombIndustries.com.
Next, we're brought to you by Mossberg, the Pro Waterfowl 940. Gun of choice around here at Stanford Hunting Outfitters. It handles the fine sand that we have out here. It plays fits on a lot of guns, but not the Mossberg 940. It's a great gun. Even Maddie shoots it. Maddie Robertson. I mean, how could you not trust him?
I've been shooting the 20 gauge over under and the 28 gauge over under. Great right. guns. Great product. That's Mossberg.com. Check them out. And you can buy them at almost all retail outlets. I'll have Mossberg guns.
Put it to your shoulder. Take it for a test drive. You'll love it. Next, the product of the year. It has changed my dog. Hemp Hill Farm, CBD. Lou will fail a drug test, but he is pain and ache free. He calms down sooner in the morning. He's always had a little bit of an issue with whining. And I'm telling you what, after one or two retrieves, he's hitting his stride. And I also notice whenever he wakes up in the morning, he's not stiff and achy. I give him the recommended dose of CBD before we go out every single morning. And I'm a fan. I really am. They've got roll-on. So that's just for pets. They have a specific pet blend. They also have stuff for humans. They have gummies. They have roll-ons. They have salves. Phenomenal products. If you have the ouchies or something's, you know, got a little lingering issue, head over to Hemp Hill Farm, farm with a PH, .com. And they also have a promo code. BHP saved you 20%, I believe.
And 30% off your very first order today. If you sign up for the Recovery Relief Rest, they get 30% off. I take two of the gummies every night. Well, I take about one to two. Sometimes I take one and a half, sometimes I take one or two. It knocks me out. I go to bed and I get about 6 to 7 hours of solid rest, and I wake up and I'm not sluggish. Doesn't give you the after effects of like taking a Benadryl or a Tylenol PM. It's better for you, and it's Hemp Hill Farm. That's HEMPHILLPHARM.com. Check it out, hemphillfarm.com.
Jeff's a fan. Next, we're brought to you by the Looking Glass Podcast. Head over to their Patreon. Logan and Rebel will be out here next month. They're great guys. Hilarious. All their episodes are 2 hours plus, so it's great for those long road trips. They're a lot of fun to listen to, and they're incredible guys. Really, really fun people to be around. Just go to Patreon, type in the Looking Glass Podcast. It'll all pop up, and then you can do what you need to do. Send over a little bit of money, and you'll have their entire library at your disposal.
Yes, shingear.com. I wear the shin boots. I'm wearing the scout boots right now. I have worn them for 3 months straight, basically. I wear them every day. I wore them in Boston. I wore them in the airport. They're comfortable, just like wearing a set of Nikes without all the politically correctness. At shingear.com. Also brought to you by MLR Graphics in Breckenridge, Texas. It's time for softball season. It's right around the corner, believe it or not. Little League Baseball. If you need your kids to get the best jerseys and equipment you can have, MLR Graphics in Breckenridge, Texas can take care of you. They do all of our shirts, hoodies, caps, everything here. They can take care of you. If you want to outfit your company, whatever you want to do, hats, t-shirts, caps, jackets, the whole thing, it's MLRGraphics.com.
Also, we're brought to you by Alpha Outdoor Specialties, maker of the Stanfield Stool and the Blind Caddy. It has saved my back. The Stanfield Stool has... sitting it every single morning, and it is a dream. We run the Lucky Duck 2x4 blind, so we have four chairs per blind. They are extremely comfortable. So if you want to kick it up a notch in your A-frame or just your regular blind, I suggest you head over to alphaoutdoorspecialties.com, look at the Stanfield Stool, and if you want to stay organized in the blind, get the Blind Caddy. Alpha Outdoor Specialties. Last but not least, we're brought to you by Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. We got a couple dates in January, but not very many. You better get on the horn right now. 940-658-3172. Jeff will answer the call. He'll call you back if he doesn't answer. Send an email, goose@westtex.net. Get some dates.
Nebraska. The last week in Nebraska is duck season. I've got some dates left. If you want to go shoot some birds on the Platte River, holler at me. That's like I said, Andy said, that's stanfieldhunting.com. Or 940-658-3172, and I do answer my own phone.
Thank you so much for being a part of this. It has been another record-setting couple of months. We couldn't do it without you.
God bless you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this episode of the podcast, we are joined by Phil Cowley. He goes by Phil's My Pharmacist on TikTok and Instagram, 1.6 million followers on the TikTok machine, and incredible man, pharmacist out there in Utah. He gives a lot of hacks on how to fight different things, you know, flu, whatever it is, flu, COVID, weight loss, hair growth. He's got it all on his channel. Incredibly smart. I'm telling you what, he's on another level with his profession. So always a pleasure talking to him. We hope that you enjoy this episode. Here he is, Phil Cowley.
Boom! Welcome to the Big Honker Podcast. I'm Jeff Stanfield with the world famous Andy Shaver.
I'm here. Barely.
This podcast brought to you by Dirty Duck. I'm out of sync. We hadn't done this in a week.
I know.
If your coffee sucks, it's not the duck. Go check them out. Get some Missouri Boat Ride. They will be at NWTF in Nashville next week with me and Andy at the ball show. They will be right there by us. Come by and buy some coffee and have a visit and say hi.
Be in Nashville next week.
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
Busy time. All right. I'm excited about this one. Phil's my pharmacist on TikTok. 1.6 million followers. Phil Calley, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Everything's great here in Utah. Thanks for having me on.
We are excited. So 2 weeks ago, we had an emergency room physician on, Dr. Richard Bartlett. And he was talking about budesonide and how it was an early protocol, early COVID protocol that he came up with, and they saw a lot of great results in the ER when COVID was coming in back in 2020, I guess, and the media stifled him.
Oh yeah, they stifled everything.
Yeah, but
they had an agenda. I mean, it's their agenda was what it was. They thought that if they could get ahead of the game with something or other, they stifled them. But it's kind of crazy because whenever you show up with symptoms, you treat the symptoms in the ER. So having somebody show up and they couldn't breathe well, the first symptom that they would treat is try to get that inflammation under control. And for whatever reason, they decided, well, this is completely different, but that doesn't even make any sense. I mean, once the symptom's there, you're treating the symptom, not the disease. And so then it became an argument about you can't treat COVID with it. And the doctors were like, well, we aren't treating COVID. We're treating the symptom, which is the inflammation. And then it just got blown underneath the table quick.
Yeah. So the budesonide, it does work.
For inflammation, it does work. Like it does reduce the amount of inflammation on the lungs. Dexamethasone is another one that they had early success with, which is a tablet. They use it for kids with croup. They had early success with it to help with symptoms. But because of the overwhelming information that was coming towards the doctor, they all got shut down. A lot of them got shut down. But it's funny because every doctor would have reached for dexamethasone and budesonide initially to treat that. But then they got told, no, they can't by their hospital systems.
It's just crazy to me that we're still living in this land where politicians are telling doctors and people in the medical industry how to perform their jobs.
That part shocks me more than anything. And it's not just medicine. It's every freaking thing. It's green energy. It's big pharma. It's big business. It's everything. You got these guys that are attorneys that have blue bloods that think they're experts on everything, but they've never owned a business or ever done anything. But the medical deal wears me out more than anything. I don't know how a politician can tell a pharmacist or a doctor the way that they need to do their job.
Well, there was so much hate out there, though. You know, you'd come in and they would come in and I'd say, what would I do? I'm like, I'd still take dexamethasone. It works for 100 years. And then you'd get these people in the pharmacy at the time and they would say, how dare you say that? Fauci came out and said this, and it shows that it doesn't work from this one paper. And I'm thinking, okay, you have one paper. I literally have croup data for inflammation that looks exactly the same for 100 years. But because of this one piece of data, you're going to change like everybody's thinking. And then it got polarized to where you almost just didn't want to, you know, it's like when your wife gets mad yeah. at you. You could be right all day long, but you have to decide whether or not it's worth the time to be right.
Boy, that's the damn truth right there.
I mean, I have won arguments that have cost me so much with my wife. In the same way, I think you had a lot of doctors saying, well, this doesn't make sense, but their administrators would come down and the doctor's like, all right, it's your place, whatever. So
right. Yeah. Is this worth me being right or not?
it's right. That's exactly right, though, boy. You ain't had your ass chewed out for absolutely no reason at all till you get married.
Right. Well, sometimes they just want to chew on you. It takes you like 10 years to figure out. You're like, you should just take it. In fact, maybe poke her just enough so she feels justified at the end of it. And then everything goes smoother. You know what? That's how it was, though, during COVID. Like, there were people who just wanted to be angry. And so you just had to go let them be angry. And I thought, well, let them be angry at me. It doesn't really, like, you know, I'm old enough. I can take it. Just go ahead and be angry. Where's your mask? I'm like, well, masks can't stop a virus that small. And then back and forth it went. And in the end, they're like, well, you know, Fauci came out like, what, 2 weeks ago and said, oh, the 6 foot thing was just sort of happened. It doesn't actually, it's not real science. Even he's come out saying some of this stuff's ridiculous.
Yeah, now. I saw you did a video on that where you were like, you know, even he's admitting now that, well, that was just kind of, what did he even say? Like, we just were kind of grasping at straws or what?
Well, it started rolling. And he said there was no science behind it. It started, the idea of 6 feet started rolling. And you know, the thing is that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, when you breathe, it goes further than that. When it hits the forced air in the building, it goes through the whole building. None of it made sense. But he said he was afraid that if they admitted they were wrong on one thing, that everybody would say that they're wrong on everything else, which to me is him saying, I think everybody's an idiot but me. Like, we can't think on our own. We already knew that. I think the idea that we could stand 6 feet apart in those little dots and it was okay made no sense to any of us. And I think it would have made more sense saying, if you could die of this, if you have leukemia, don't come out. You're going to die. So,
yeah. Have you noticed that people are still standing 6 feet apart, or are they crowding each other now back in your store? Because I've noticed, like, there's one place, and it's Dollar General in Knox City. It's about all we have. And I still, like, kind of self-regulate. I don't in any other store, but for whatever reason, when I go in Dollar General, I guess
they're pretty nasty.
I guess that's, yeah, maybe that's it. maybe it's just my brain, like, you know, self-preservation. But are people crowding each other now, or are they still kind of distancing?
They still are. Have you guys, okay, so the thing that's bothered me is the way they change psychology of some of the younger people. Like, they come in and they've got masks and they're more isolated. And I think we did that. Like, we made these people that were already scared of stuff more scared, and we haven't come out in the same manner and saying, let's look at these people who we now mess with their psychology. Their psychology says, if I get too close to people, I'm gonna die. I mean, I have a lot of, especially older women, they come in, and if somebody sneezes, like, it, they get this look of paranoia, and they run. How did we mess them up so bad and not come out and say, you're gonna be okay? Like, at what point do we come out and say, you're going to be all right? And I don't, yeah, we do still see it. But, like, I think the fear we put in these people, we made them paranoid. We created a whole new category of fear.
I've noticed the mask wearers now are people that are really, really old, or they're people under 25. I was in San Francisco this week, and I saw a car next to me, and there was two dudes in this car, I'm guessing in the mid-20s, both had a mask on, windows rolled up and a mask. And I'm like, I want to tell him, you look like a damn idiot. But then again, what if they really do have something wrong? Then you feel bad if they do actually need to wear a mask. But I just, they also had a bunch of Joe Biden stickers all over their car, so I figured they were just being compliant. But I did. I look at people wearing a mask completely different now than I did. I always think, you're a fool. And I probably shouldn't be that way, but I am.
Well, we messed them up. I mean, there's no way around it. We took people that were already predisposed to be and nervous about things, and we messed them up pretty big. Oh, like, as you know, as a country, as a medical industry, we messed them up. Because, and even at that, we have some people who probably should take things more serious who are so, I'm not going to listen to anything anybody tells me anymore. We probably messed them up some too.
Yeah, I think it pushed people a lot of, I think it kind of, it pushed, instead of uniting the country, it just forced people into their corners. You're either not going to believe anything the government has to say now, or you're going to just take everything that they say as gospel. And there's not that whole lot of thinking for yourself and doing your own research now. There's people, it's just, oh, government said this, I'm opposite, or government said this, and let's just swallow it all.
So I do a lot of canyoneering. So you get up in the mountains, you have these slot canyons and this red rock, they drop down hundreds of feet. You rappel, you have to climb over things, you jump into water. And what I always take my kids there, because I want them to have critical thinking skills. So we'll get up to a cliff that's, you know, 80 feet, and I'll just throw the ropes out and say, okay, what are we going to do here, boys? I think that America in general has started to lose critical thinking skills.
Yes.
People can't think for themselves.
Well, I've noticed that with my son. So he's in my oldest is in the third grade, And in Texas, and I don't know how it is in Utah, but we have a state standardized test that starts in the third grade. And there's an aspect of thinking outside of the box that you're going to have to kind of master to answer some of these questions, because they'll throw you for loops. And my oldest is very, very literal about everything. And I'm just, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of literal, but I have kind of common sense, but I don't know. I worry about that boy maybe I need to take him out hiking or something. I don't know. Maybe find problem solving skills on our own. I don't know what to do, but I've noticed, like, looking at some of his, cause he was sick all last week with the flu. We got his homework. I've been helping him get caught up, but I'm just looking at him like, boy,
I think you're too hard on him. I think he's just a typical kid these days, but kids today are different than kids your age. And you guys were a whole lot different than I was. I was one of those lucky kids that grew up in the 70s, which I think is the best time period in this country to have grown up as a child, because we weren't so overprotected. You know, things don't bother us. You drop some food on the ground, you knock the dirt off of it, and you eat it. Well, today's kids, there ain't no way in hell they're going to do that shit. They worry about everything. And I think that's just the problem with young people. But I think you're right. I think it's that they rely on the government too much for help. And so can you imagine where we're going to be 30 years from now?
Well, that's the concern I have with my own boys quite a bit is, you know, you look at people that come in, you're like, okay, so you read one thing and now you think you've got it figured out. What's going to happen when things go sideways? And I think those critical thinking skills, especially in medicine, are like essential. So like, that's kind of where I push is the idea of, I'm going to give you some ideas and I want you just to think about it. Because I think once you get people thinking, they understand a lot more than what they've been told. But if we just dictate to people what to think, I mean, MacGyver was essential growing up in the 80s. Like, we had to have our MacGyver. Right. That guy could fix anything. There's no MacGyvers coming out of this newest generation.
No, and one thing that bothers me is we've taken away the hustlers. Every neighborhood has a hustler, or used to have a hustler, and you had them even in kids growing up. You had that kid that would trade gum and candy and marbles and whatever it was. Those kids ain't around anymore. You know, they don't do anything. There's very few hustlers at all. And I've noticed more and more our workforce is old people. And we've had that problem here.
Yeah.
Young people, you can't find young people, first of all, that have very much work ethic. And not all of them, because there are some good kids that still have some work ethic. But the country kid that used to have, even in Knox City, we had country kids, you know, kids that run around shooting shit at night, you know, drinking beer, riding around, the things they shouldn't do. You don't have those kids no more. And
that could fix a flat tire at 16, 17 years old.
Yeah, they don't have, all they do is call their dad. They don't know how to do shit anymore. And there still are some farm kids, but it's that whole generation of stuff. You go to a grocery store, you got old people working in there. You go to fast food, you have old people. Those jobs used to be kids.
Yeah.
And you don't see teenage kids working anymore. They've all got a $1,200 phone and a $300 pair of Nikes. So,
right. And they've been told that there's nothing to work towards. Yes. And I think that's such a bad thing. Like, everybody keeps saying, well, inflation is bad. You'll never own a phone. You'll never own a home because everything's so expensive. None of that was true. Like, when we were growing up, like, none of that, like, there's always a way for that next generation to do it. What we're taking from them is that desire to go out and get it done. If there's a kid that comes through this store that's been picking potatoes, I'll hire that kid 100 times out of 100, because that kid that picks potatoes still knows how to work. And they'll tell stories about how there's more rabbits than potatoes, and they'll talk how nasty it is. That kid knows how to work. I think that's why it was good for a lot of us. I mean, you throw a kid out there and have them dig post holes all day through a summer, they'll do anything else and they'll be really good at it. And I'm with you. I think and it's the same with medicine now. Like, if they see it and they're like, well, the doctor said this, and you should walk out of a doctor's office thinking, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm going to start looking elsewhere and see what else there is. And maybe he'll turn out he's okay. But I think that questioning, you know, what you've been told has been taken away from those kids.
Yes. So let me ask you this. The drug that's all over the place right now, Ozempic and Mounjaro. What are the long-term consequences of these two drugs? Because, you know, it's a Hollywood diet pill, basically, right?
Well, it's everybody. I just read a report that they think it's going to cost just one of the states like $14.8 billion this year just to get them on these drugs. So these drugs work, okay? And they work really well for diabetics. They also help lose weight, and you'll lose weight. In fact, they lose somewhere between 16 to 20% of your weight. So you weigh 200 pounds, you're going to lose 40 pounds off the thing, right? But when you lose that weight, you don't lose just fat. You lose fat and muscle. So when you're talking about losing muscle, that has long-term what we call sarcopenic effects. So the only real precursor, the only way you really know how long you're going to live is how much lean muscle you have on you. So let's say we take a 65-year-old person, we get them to drop 60 pounds. Everybody's like, oh, that's a win. We lost 60 pounds. They're gonna live forever, right? The question has to be, what happens when you lose 30 pounds of muscle and 30 pounds of fat? What does that look like 5 years out? And what happens when you stop taking it? And the obvious answer is, when you stop taking it, you're going to regain it unless you've changed your life.
Right. Right. But now, I mean, so many people are on this right now. I mean, there's teenagers that are on it.
Oh, yeah. It's creating a whole new category of eating disorders, guaranteed. Because now you can take this stuff and lose 15 pounds in a month, and it works just right away. And teenagers are on it, and it's working. Everybody's claiming it is this wonder drug. And it does do what it says. It causes your brain to say, okay, I don't need this. I'm going to quit eating it. It takes away the desire. It gives you what's called satiation. So you're like, I don't even like want to eat. It's good. And then they start losing all this weight. But on the backside, now that I've been doing this, I've been selling this, I probably sell, I don't know, probably 60, 80 boxes of that stuff a month without a problem. The people that are on it, they look like drug addicts when they can't get it. It's the strangest things. Like, they really start to freak out. Like, they yell at us and scream at us when their insurance doesn't cover it. They're throwing fits. It is the strangest thing to see how people respond when they can't get it. And that makes me really concerned when you have somebody who will go to those lengths. I mean, they look worse than our oxycodone patients when they can't get it. Like, they throw bigger fits. They're more nervous. They call weeks in advance. It's the craziest thing.
Are they physically dependent on it, or are they looking at it from the side of, oh, I'm going to gain all my weight back?
I think we screwed with their heads. I think it's all about screwing with their heads. I think that they know that they're going to gain the weight back because they've tried before. And then I think that not only that, but if you start considering that they used to not have all this. So you throw a cookie in front of me, I want to eat that. I'm going to eat that cookie, like, every time. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to eat every cookie you put in front of me, right? And when you say, now you put a cookie in front of me, I don't want to eat it, right? What happens when that you're like, okay, I've conquered this thing that I've been told is wrong with me for years. Like, we've been told it's wrong to want to eat the brisket. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is, because brisket's delicious, right? You took that desire, you took it away from them. Like, okay, I've been cured. I no longer have to eat all the time. And then it comes back. I think it messes with their heads. Like, they had a sickness because they wanted to eat, and that sickness was taken away from them, and now they're feeling sick again.
What is the long term? Like, I know some people that are on this that have been on there for 3 or 4 months, and they've lost 50, 60, 70, 80 pounds.
Yeah.
When they get off of this, though, the people I know have gained weight back pretty quick.
So there's two types of fat in our body. There's a fat that has a lot of mitochondria. Mitochondria are power plants, okay? That's what our cells use for power plants. And ones that have lots of mitochondria are called brown fat. And it's just because we utilize those faster. So if I was going to go out and run a marathon, my brown fat is really useful in that marathon, because not only do I have all the energy, but I have the little power plants to use it. Then we have the fat that comes around the middle that we earn over years, and that's supposed to be our food storage. That means when we go into 10 years of famine or whatever it is, you slowly eat away at that fat. And that fat has a lot less of the power plants than mitochondria. When we burn the fat with the GLP-1s, whether it's tirzepatide or semaglutide, we burn brown fat first. So you'll see their faces, like, it almost like their face looks like they've gone zombie mode on you. You know what I mean? Women lose all of the lady lumps that you want, they're gone, because those are all brown fat. And then when they regain it, it comes back as white fat. White fat's that midsection fat. And that midsection fat's super dangerous. People with midsection fat, those are the people that die earliest of things. Brown fat hasn't been correlated to those early deaths, but white fat around the midsection. So what we do is we take somebody who's a bigger person, but like, it looks fine on them. They're just bigger. We peel off all their brown fat. They come off of it. They get back somewhere between. Now, it depends on which one of the drug companies paid studies you want to look at, because that's all that's out there is drug companies paid studies. But they're getting back about 75% of the white weight overall, everybody. I think it's more. And that comes back as white fat. And when you come back with white fat at 75% of where the brown fat was, you've increased their chances for having those problems. And I think that we'll see individuals either have to stay on it forever, or I think you'll see massive lawsuits in about 10 years.
Wow.
That's crazy. I'm a white fat guy. I am. I'm a white fat guy, and I have been a long time. My problem is I like to eat bad shit. If it's bread, yeah, if it's bread or it's sugar, I like it. Now, I am starting to walk again. I'm going to start walking. I've got a regimen I'm fixing to do just so I can lose about 30 pounds, but walking because I need to exercise anyways. But what gets me is this magic pill that these people are on, they're not changing their lifestyle any, and it's going to catch up to them, and it's going to be detrimental to our society. But our society, if you look at a picture from 1970, 72, 75, 80 on just a street corner, there wasn't any fat people. There were a few fat people. What we considered fat when I was growing up is not a fat person today by any means at all, just somebody little wearing husky jeans. Today, we got society. I played Santa Claus every year in our town. We got a bunch of little fat kids running around every town. My dang back and knees hurt me from picking them little fuckers up all day long. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
And Andy made, well, we were in Tennessee somewhere last year, and we went to a restaurant to eat at, and there was a little girl wanting pie. Do you remember that? Yeah. And Andy told me, he goes, that mom ought to be arrested for that right there. He goes, that's a death sentence. This little girl was 3 foot tall and 2.5 foot wide. She had more chins than a Chinese phone book, and she was getting pie. She
walked away with a whole pie.
Yeah, she didn't need no pie. Now, I like pie she did. I would have shared it with her. But that's not healthy at all for these kids.
No, and what you said is perfect. So I actually think this stuff's super useful for short-term therapy. So if you have somebody who wants to lose, I don't know, 40, 50 pounds, you say, go on it for 3 months, but here's the deal. You need to start putting miles on. I don't care if you're walking. I don't care if you're running. I don't care if you're hiking. You got to put miles on, and you have to start lifting weights and getting that muscle back. And I think in that case, it's like the perfect tool. Like, I think it is the perfect tool. Problem is that most people who are really, really large have so many other issues going on that if I just get rid of that weight and I don't treat with, so that little girl, she's been taught every time she has a feeling to eat, mm-hmm. every time something's uncomfortable or she gets sweaty or her heart rate goes up, that's wrong. She's not been taught to go out there and run through the field. If you take that little girl, put her on something that helps her lose weight, but in the meantime, train her how to be healthy and happy, then she'd be fine. But that's not what we do. We're like, here's your pill, have a good day. And then the doctor sees another 47 people, so he can charge them $150 each. And then the drug company charges $1,000 a piece on this stuff. They don't want you off of this. Don't think that Novo and Lilly have your best interest at heart. These guys want to make $1,000 a pop every month off of you. That's what they want.
That's what it costs the insurance companies is $1,000?
It cost me $1,080 to bring it in.
And what's the cash price on it?
You know, most cases you're probably another $20-$30 above it. Pharmacies don't get huge markup off of brand name drugs. We make all our money off of generics. You come with amoxicillin, it costs me 60 cents. I charge $6. Everything that's cheap is what a pharmacist wants to sell to you. Everything expensive, it kills us. Like a lot of these I'm losing money on through the insurances. Like I'll get paid under what I could bring them in for. But like, I think we charge right around $1,100 for it.
I had to have a damn, echogram, a heart. Picture. I don't know what it costs, but they told me that my insurance, you hadn't met your deductible. Well, I don't ever go to the doctor, and my deductible was $3,500 or something, and that's what they were going to charge. This is in December, middle of December, and they said, well, it'll be $3,500 for the test. I was like, I ain't paying $3,500 out of my pocket for that. And they said, well, if you're just going to pay it on cash and you don't put it on your insurance, it's only $450. Okay.
There you go.
So paid $450. They did the test and everything was great. But what got me was, you know, at $450, the hospital's still making money.
Oh, for sure. MRIs used to be the biggest joke. Like MRIs, you'd go in and they'd be always $3,000 a piece. Now there's a place to go get an MRI in every town for $350. But you got to figure those machines cost the same 10 years ago. I mean, what you find is whatever the hospital systems are pushing at the time are where you make your money. So if there's money to be made in tests, they'll push tests. If there's money to be made in surgeries, they push surgeries. Like you don't have to be a genius to know that businesses are businesses. So whatever they're pushing first, they're making money off of. Nobody's doing any of this stuff for charity work.
Right. So how do they expect you to make ends meet? Like you said, a lot of these big drugs, name brand drugs, you're going to lose money on. How can they get in between your bottom line?
Do you guys know what a PBM is, a prescription benefit manager?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay, you You look at your insurance, your card, you'll see Caremark, Express Scripts, Optum, and there's a couple others, but really it's the big three. The big three own all of the prescriptions that go through. Now, those big three, Caremark, Express Script, and Optum, they're making, and I'm not exaggerating here, they're making $1 billion plus a year on just processing the prescriptions before they do. They own their own mail order services. They own their own pharmacies. They do all that stuff. But they make $1 billion plus off of it. So those guys, Caremark's the most curious one. So Caremark is closing 10% of their pharmacies right now, like across the nation. And the reason why they're doing that is because they have what's called a DIR fee. So you come into my store, let's say you pick up your prescription and it's $100, right? And I come down there and say, well, you haven't met your deductible, give me your $100. And that you give me $100, and then I take part of that $100 and I give it back to your insurance company without you knowing. About, I don't know, $7-$8 of that goes back to your insurance companies. So what I think is going on right now is I'm thinking that the PBMs, Caremark, Express Scripts, Optum, I don't think they care about decentralized pharmacies. I don't think they care about the one you can walk into anymore. I think they're trying to push everybody to where your mail order, because they own all the mail order systems. So if you close them, so right now I think on average you're losing about 7% of all your independent pharmacies on a yearly basis, because they aren't making money. They're all losing money.
What the pain patches, the OxyContin, all of that stuff, which is a huge pandemic, huge problem in our country. How, you've been a pharmacist a long time. When you first got in the game, did you have as many people addicted to pills as there is now?
So this is like a burr in my saddle, because since they put all these regulations and since the big explosion, all the Netflix shows, everything else, right? You know, there's more overdoses deaths now after all the legislation, after they've received all the money, after all the billboards, there's more overdoses deaths now in the United States than there was before. So I saw this explode at the very beginning of my career, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that pain pills were insane, but people who had pain had to go see their doctor. Now, because all those same people are still using, we're seeing more deaths of opiates, but now it's their illegal opiates. And they think that, you know, you go down there, the pill looks the same. I have a guy tell me exactly where you can go in Vegas. You go in Vegas, you go this place. He told me exactly where to get it. And I'm like, you know that that's not oxycodone. You know that's fentanyl in those pills. And he goes, yeah, but I got to get something because I can't get anything to help my pain. So you look at that problem, the fact that we think we did all this stuff. We took billions and billions and billions of dollars. We were going to fix this problem. Now go look at the numbers. Every year it climbs. We're not doing anything to help these people at all. And so I think that the way that we see people with pain, I think the way that we see people who are addicted is obviously failing, because it's getting worse and not better.
So what can we do to fix it? I mean, we've got so many people that are physically dependent on these drugs.
Right. Well, think about anything that we do. The idea that you can just take away whatever it is that you love. Yeah. And then it gets better. That's not what happens. You take somebody, you take it away, they get like crazy. And so if we would have taken that money that we put up for billboards and whatever, and we would have set up better mental health services and started looking at these people with addiction as being forever addicted rather than being, you're clean for 6 months, there's the door, have a good day, you know, we would have been somewhere. But we should have used that money better. And I just keep looking at it. I don't even know where they put all that money they got from the drug companies.
Right.
Did you see where the toxicology report came back from those people in Kansas City?
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl is what killed all those guys at that football party. Now, something shady going on, because whoever's in Texas now, if you sell somebody a fentanyl, a pill, and they got fentanyl and they die, they charge you with murder in some places, which I think is a good idea. I really do. But it's going to be interesting to see if that guy's the one that gave them the pills or what.
Well, I think for sure that is. Well, the other thing is, like, I just did a report on a ton of studying on it. The stuff you get from Mexico now, people are buying Xanax in Mexico coming out of, like, you know, an alprazolam. They're like, oh, I'll just get a couple of sleeping pills. Fentanyl. Ooh. Everything has fentanyl in it. Everything has fentanyl in it. I'm with you. I think that these guys – I saw that, you know, you see people get away with it. Like, they're like, well, we had enough fentanyl with these two guys to kill all of tri-state area. I remember reading that a year ago. They had enough fentanyl to kill everybody in the tri-state area up there in New York. And they got 15 years. I'm like, 15 years, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, 15 years, you probably, with that load of stuff you took last time, you probably killed 100 people. You need to start trying them bigger and harder, but you guys are in Texas, so it's a lot easier that way. There's other states that don't think that way.
Well, yeah, and you know, and then just in New York, that that one illegal alien, he beat that cop up. He didn't even get any jail time. So, no, and I mean, 15 years for a load of fentanyl that'll kill everybody.
Well, no, they haven't had his trial yet. They no bail. They no gave him free bail, right. And then he went to California, and them idiots ain't going to do shit to him.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah. You know, they just walk away. They New York is a bit of a joke.
I've spent a lot of time in New York City, and I just come back from San Francisco, and I'm telling you right now, I've never been as fearful for my safety as I was in San Francisco, anywhere I've been in the United States. I've been to Tijuana. I've been to New Orleans. I've been to Memphis at nighttime and down an alley. I've been all to a lot of crappy places, and I've never been as scared as I was at 8 o'clock in the morning at a San Francisco having breakfast. Just at a public diner.
Zombies everywhere?
No, not zombies. The signs everywhere. Oh. Don't leave nothing in your car. Don't do this. Don't do that. Then you ask the lady about it, and she's like, oh, yeah, they'll come up to your car and take a tire tool. She goes, if you want to bring your luggage in here, you can just set it in here while you eat so they won't steal shit. It's that common. Hmm. And I just, and I had a gun on me, which you're not supposed to in California. I had my bag with my gun in it, and I went and got it and set it next to me. And then I started thinking, if something happens, and someone gets into my car and I shoot them, I'm going to get arrested. Because I have a gun, which is illegal here, but they don't have a problem with them stealing all my crap. But I was really that scared there, and it just makes me nervous what's going on in our world.
It's definitely turned away, hasn't it? Like, it's rolling down the hill right now with what it is. We had our break-in here. You know, I've never been robbed before. There's a group of guys, and they come out of Missouri, and they do road trips out to little towns. And so they hit me, hit little towns in Idaho. They've hit 47 places here in Utah, and they come in, they smash through the windows, grab all the stuff, run in, run out. And I've never had issues like that before. And then I started looking into it. I'm like, I was like number 44, and the state hadn't told anybody. And then we got camera footages, everything else. They come in, come out. They're in and out of my store in like a minute five, because we used to have a window. Now there's drywall where that window was. I got rid of the window. But they try to come through the outside. We have bulletproof glasses, so their little husky glass punch wouldn't go through, and they still can't go through. They came inside, tried to hit the door. They couldn't get through that one, and so they finally came through the other. And then in our neighborhood, too, we're having robberies like we've never had before. And they're saying what's happening is you just got people that will travel from California, hit a bunch of places, and go home. And so you can't think this is a California problem or a Portland problem anymore, because it's too easy for them to travel.
Yeah. Well, a guy that hunts out here with us, his pharmacist got robbed.
Oh, sure did. I forgot about that.
And I mean, it's a big deal when your pharmacy gets robbed and they take some of these drugs, because now all of a sudden, DEA gets involved, and Texas Rangers got involved here. Like, he had to cancel. He couldn't come out hunting because he had to deal with federal agencies.
We start putting them assholes to sleep and then quit doing that crap. But
there's got to be something better than what we got, because obviously what we do doesn't work. Like, it's just getting worse. There's got to be, like, you know, there's got to be a better way, because I keep looking at it, and, you know, the cops that come in and talk to me, like, well, we could catch this guy. We had a guy call in a fake script 2 days ago for some, like, if you get a promethazine with codeine script, it's always fake. They always are always fake. So we get one of those, and the cops are coming in, and, you know, I'm talking to them. They're like, well, even if we put them in, the judge puts them back out on the street before they even hit the door. Yeah. So the cops don't even feel like, you know, if you can't give the cops some teeth, you don't incentivize them to do anything.
The states are pushing to make things liberal. They don't, if you're looking at it from a state's deal, I'm a retired judge in a small town. I didn't do any big, big crimes or nothing, but I had put people in jail and did with little things and dealt with a lot of drug issues. The problem, the state doesn't want to put anybody in prison because it costs them money. You know, and I got news for you. A prison's not supposed to be, it's supposed to be an expenditure for the state. It's supposed to take the crappy people off and leave them up there. We need to make prisons tougher. We need work camps in prisons. We need boot camps in prisons. If you make prison bad, people don't want to come back. The problem is they just go back over and over again because it's easier than living on the street. And we've got to come up with some tougher crimes. I had a lady that come into court one time and seen me, and she was on a pain script. She had some stuff stolen stuff. She was getting like 320 pain pills a month. And I couldn't believe it. I was just trying to do, how do you fucking function?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. What's the most you've seen?
Yeah, we see a lot of pain people like that too. And then it, you know, the thing about pain pills is they don't, you have to remember, none of them cure anything. It's just a, it just helps them get through a few hours. And they've been proven over and over again. Now, you know, you go out and bust up some ribs. And I always say ribs because there's something about that ribs where you can't breathe without it hurting that is something different, right? You bust up ribs, you need something for a couple of days. I get it. But like all of your back surgeries, all of your headaches, everything else, the studies keep showing over and over again that we give you pain medications, you're okay for a little bit, then we have to give you a higher dose, then you're okay for a little bit, then we give you a higher dose. And in the end, you still hurt the same, but now you have to take 10 pills a day. And those studies keep reoccurring over and over and over again. But for some reason, we just keep following those same patterns rather than trying to learn from them and say, okay, well, this isn't working. Why don't we pay for physical therapy for these people? Why don't we actually, you know, have a trainer that helps them with at the gym? Why don't we incentivize this person? If you show up to the gym, you can get your Social Security money. And if you don't, then we're not going to pay for you to sit on your couch because your life's worse. So let us help you make your life better.
Yeah. Did you watch Dope Sick? I watched that this summer, and that was eye-opening, the way that that whole thing was manipulated.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all about money. Like, you have to understand, any prescription, everything you see, they don't sell the ones they're not making money. And it's really not about life changing things. It's always about money. Purdue made so much money on that. But what was it? Walgreens sold 33% of all opiates across the whole nation came from a Walgreens store one way or the other. So Purdue made like 6% of the prescriptions. Walgreens were selling 33%.
Wow.
And we know it's just because it was easier to put a face, like you put Matthew Broderick on the face of, you know, and it's easier to make the movie. But there were a lot of people that were making a lot of money. I had a pharmacist who called me up and he was complaining because, you know, right now you're really just making your bills. He said, back in the heyday of opiates, I was making $500,000 every 3 months. And I about lost it on him. Like, what do you mean heyday? That was back when you were killing people because you were like, I was always like, they didn't like me because they would come in and I would tell them, you're going to kill yourself. I don't want anything doing. I'm living in this town. I don't want anything doing with this. But he was making $500,000 every 3 months off of selling people. And so it's not just the big pharma. There were a lot of pharmacists that cleaned up during that time frame.
Wow.
I wish I had a little less morals. I probably wouldn't have to be doing social media. I could just be hunting with you guys.
Yeah, I mean,
morals aren't cheap. They're expensive things to keep.
Yeah, so. But I mean, you, like you said though, you got to live in that town, you know. And I mean, right. It just sleeping at night, a nice. Yeah, I don't know how well you sleep at night. Probably not very well, being a small business owner in this economy. But you know, going to bed with a clean conscience.
I've had three people that have walked in picking up scripts, and I've looked them right in the eyes and said, "You're going to die."
Whoa.
And if you quit, if you keep taking, and all, I've had three of them go home and overdose on those medications, but I have the doctor wrote it, the patient knew. And I'm not kidding. When I said, I looked at him, said, this is going to kill you. You're going to die taking this much medication. And when they died, like everybody said, well, how do you feel? I'm like, I don't know what else I can do. So it is nice to be able to say that, you know, and I've lost lots of patients because they'll come in and they'll say, well, I need this early, or I need this, I'm going out of town. And I'll be like, you know, I'm not going to do this because I'm hurting you. But, you know, if you raise kids, you learn right away that some of the things they complain the most about are the things they need. So it's the same with all people. It's not like we grow out of that. Like, honestly, you probably shouldn't have that pie. So next time I see the pie, I'm going to knock it out of your hand. So
I need someone like that. What is the on these pain meds? People have not changed in the last 100 years. I mean, kids are the
10,000 years.
Yeah.
Like forever.
Yeah. It's like kids. They're like, well, kids are different today. No, they're not. Our parenting skills are different. We're ruining the kids. Kids haven't changed at all. People don't deal with pain anymore. People can't handle any kind of suffering. I mean, I've had an earache before. I didn't go to a damn doctor for an earache, and it was very unbearable. You get used to it, and you go on, and you get better, and you hope it gets better. Toothache, either go to the dentist. I've known people that's had a toothache for years. People were tougher back a long time ago. People weren't addicted to pain medicine. You were just tough.
Well, it wasn't an option.
Well, yeah, but you dealt with the pain and got on with it. Today, we got all these people. Bipolar is one of the things that wears me out also. You're not bipolar. You're fucking crazy is what your problem is, you know? Just deal with shit. Everybody's got some problems. I don't know one person in the world that doesn't have some sort of stress or problems in their life. You know?
Well, it's giving them tools too. Like, I think, like, we have some pretty severe bipolar people, but when I give them pills and they don't do, they don't interact with individuals, they don't have that drive within them to become something better for whatever reason, it doesn't matter what I give them. Pain medication is the same way. You know, you look at an old timer that's on a farm, they walk out there and you're like, well, there's a broken, he's broke his hip, he's hurt his knee, he's got that shoulder. Like, you can see him, they like crick along, mm-hmm. right? But they got that drive because they just want to get out there on the horse, or they want to do whatever. I think that what we've taken from people is the idea that they can be something huge. Like, every person needs to know that you work hard, life's going to be good. And I think that's what we're taking more than anything else, is I think we're just giving them complacency in place of dreams.
Yeah, nobody's got a purpose. I say nobody. There's a lack of purpose in a lot of people today. And
I think so too.
And they just have never found anything. I think that kids, young teenagers, when they get on their phone, that it's just a constant barrage of information. And with the cell phones, and we have curated a generation of people that are happy watching and not doing, because something has changed in our minds where if I watch somebody do something, it's the same as me doing it. And I didn't even have to leave the couch to get the same experience.
Well, the fear of failure too.
Yeah.
Like, you're so afraid of not being good at something. Yep. Like, that's, I just don't know. I always talk to my kids. I'm like, you should strive to lose. Yep. Like, you should go out there and have an epic failure over and over again, because those people that have epic failures, they're the ones that like do amazing things. People that never fail never win. And now we just tell them, you don't have to do any of it. You can watch it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go out there through that. Like, you and I bet you we all could sit down and start showing scars from what we did when we were stupid.
Yeah.
Those scars may have done something stupid at the time, but it taught me that if you're going to hit that jump, you got to make sure to pull those handlebars up. If not, you're catching it right in the chest and you're not going to breathe for 3 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a good lesson for me to learn, because then later in life, when somebody knocked the breath out of me, I'm like, just give it a minute. Just don't get excited. You know what I mean? But my kids, they've never had the wind knocked out of them.
Yeah.
And I can't even figure that out. I mean, that was like, you know, you're like a 6 year on the bike. First thing you do is try to jump and you're lying in the grass and your dad's laughing at you.
Yeah.
So I think we've taken that away from people. And I think that's the worst thing we've taken from people, is the idea that you can be something amazing. And instead we're like, you can watch something amazing, mm-hmm. is where they're at now.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, knocking the first time you knock the wind out of yourself and you've not ever experienced that, you think your life is ending right there.
It is right? You think you're dead.
Scariest thing that you ever experience.
And then your dad's laughing at you. He's looking over and he's laughing at you as you die. You're like, well, now I know who you are, Dad. Laugh at me while I die.
Yeah. But then it happens again and again and again. And you're like, okay, just like you said, just don't get in a hurry. Let's just catch our breath a little bit. But that first time, you are sure that your soul is escaping your body.
Well, the first time you get a concussion, you're like, you're confused and you're scared. Mm-hmm. By about the third time, you're like, well, I got this big blank set of time. Apparently I got knocked out.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm still here. That's another interesting thing that's going on with the NFL. We got the Super Bowl this weekend, but I was listening to something with Brett Favre. He used to be my favorite football player, and he was talking to a neurologist, and he said, the neurologist asked him, how many concussions do you think you had in your career? And he kind of did a little bit of counting. He's like, maybe 5 or 6, some, you know, where I'm missing time. And he's
like, 100.
He's like, no. Think thousands. He said any time that your ears were ringing was probably a concussion, is what kind of the research is showing now.
Right.
And now we've got CTE and, you know, all these other things. We've got professional athletes that are committing suicide, and
yeah.
My goodness.
Do you think it's...
What is this going to look like in 20 years?
They're not going to cut football out.
No.
I mean, nobody's going to watch flag football. We might as well watch it women's basketball.
Right.
I mean, it just ain't going to happen.
Right. Well, you know, the CTE thing's really scary, because the brain, when the brain starts to have that damage, it's kind of there. And so, like, it's like concussion type stuff is super scary. But even at those guys, though, I mean, have you talked to very many of these guys up front? Most of them, they would get hurt at halftime. They'd inject their knee up with Kenalog and lidocaine.
Toradol.
They'd wrap them up. They'd send them out the door with pain medications and say, just play through the pain. and then we're shocked when they turn out addicted to drugs and messed up. Like, why would we be surprised at all about any of this stuff?
Right. Kind of goes with the culture of America. Like, now we're shocked that these guys are addicted to pain pills and not a good.
See, I don't feel sorry for them.
Why?
But they're well compensated.
I'm not saying that I feel sorry for him. I'm just saying it's interesting
but
thought he had six concussions, and the guy's like, no, think thousands, multiple a game.
People try to turn them into victims. They're not victims. They got paid.
Yeah, but they were sold a bad batch of goods.
They didn't have to play football.
They didn't have to, but they weren't given all the information either, though, in the time of their playing days.
Okay. They know now, and they're still playing.
You know, my problem is that your NFL people knew. Yes. Like, I get that the players – like, the players have some level. It's not like they don't know. You talk to a player, they know what they're in for. Those NFL players, the owners made a ton of money off of those guys hiding information along the way. Now, I think you would have turned to them and said, if I turn to kids right now who want to play, and I say, you're going to get concussions, it's going to shorten your life, you're going to be crippled, you're going to play, and they're going to say, yeah, I'm going to play, and I'm, like, full on with that guy. But the NFL owner who knew that they were causing these issues and said, let's brush this under the table for a while and let's not tell them. I think those guys have something to pay for, because if you know something and you don't talk about it and you make money off of it, then those guys, it's, you know, I still say the kids are all going to play, and the kids that are playing now, they all know.
Yes.
And so I think you let them run.
And the team
doctors.
But I
think that those people that they hid that info.
And the team doctors that, you know, the owner was like, listen, you can't disclose. You can't tell him that. And I understand, you know, there's a lot of guys that just come off the street that probably wouldn't know the information even if they were given it, but they still should have been upfront about the cost benefit of injecting whatever into their knee or hip and how that's going to look in 30 years.
I'm not saying that the NFL owners are innocent, because they're not by any means. But if you told me, myself personally, fat, out of shape, white fat guy, since I got the white fat, not the brown fat, and said, hey, I'm going to give you $5 million to get in a ring with Mike Tyson and fight him. I know that he's going to whip my ass.
Right.
And I know I'm going to get a concussion, probably a broken jaw, broken nose, broken orbital.
Concussion's going to be the least.
But for $5 million, I'm going to get in that ring with Mike Tyson.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like, I don't have a problem with that part of it. Like, I don't think, especially now they know, but I think that the problem was is those guys hit it. And I think that makes me a little bit like, you should, like, you guys take somebody out hunting and it's storming and it's going to rain on them and they're going to get sick and you got a hurricane coming and you're like, yeah, we're going anyway. Even though you know better, you're not doing that. And those guys knew that hurricane was coming. They're like, it's all right. You guys can go on out without me.
Right. Yeah.
I feel sorry for the guys, the old guys, the old timers that played. They made good money, but they didn't make money like they do today. But it's hard to feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers, for example. He's a smart guy. He knows everything he's dealt with, but he's got himself into. Patrick Mahomes.
Do now.
Right. So I don't feel
70s,
sorry.
70s, 80s, and 90s football, they did not know.
The old guys I feel sorry for that are banged up. But today, anybody that's played sports in the last 20 years, they know what they're getting into. Every one of them.
I agree.
And I think baseball should have steroids. If you want to jack yourself up, and baseball needs steroids, because the best time baseball had is when Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire were having a home, and Sammy Sosa, but when he was still black, were hitting the ball over the field. Everybody wanted to watch that. Well, that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
McGwire.
Yeah.
Remember when McGwire went, like, you know, he was there at the A's, and he was like this little guy, and he comes back the next year. He looks like the Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
And he's every time he swings, like it was everybody's like shocked. I'm like, I don't think anybody who was watching baseball was shocked. That guy went from being small to making Jose Canseco look like a teeny dude overnight. We all knew what was going on. Like, it's funny that it was just like this huge shocker. I don't think any one of us was surprised.
No, but if that's what baseball players want to do, let them take steroids. I don't care. That they know the risk. That's their deal. Pro wrestling, same thing. Those guys, I'm not a wrestling guy. I'm not one of these people to watching pro wrestling. I hadn't watched wrestling in years. I took my kids one time. It was a very entertaining event. We went to SmackDown.
Saw The Rock and Stone Cold.
It was awesome. But those guys right there, you talk about some guys that punish their bodies. Because, they wrestle 3 nights a week probably. And that's terrible.
What about your drywallers out there? Your guys finishing concrete. You guys ever finished concrete?
Yeah.
There's nothing worse on your body than finishing concrete. So, you know, people trade their body for money all the time. I mean, watch those truck drivers get out of their trucks. See how bent they are because they've been driving all the time. I mean, people do it. I just think the difference is that you should disseminate the information properly. And that comes back to the COVID thing. I have no problem with what Dr. Fauci said. He just withheld information. And I think that you give everybody all the information they want. You let them make a decision, whether it's football or medicine. The more information you hand to people, they make that decision. If you want to be an idiot, drive your bullet bike 120 miles without a helmet. You know what's going to come. Then that's fine.
Right. Yeah. But just be upfront with everybody. We had an old football player on here, and he said that it was an interesting way of looking at it. But he said it's a HIPAA violation anytime, because he played in the early 2000s when they would still do the sideline exam. He's like, that's a HIPAA violation.
For sure. Like, you can't. That's personal, private information, yeah. And they get to choose.
Yeah. He's like, that's why they had to put the blue tent up. He's like, it was a HIPAA violation.
Right. Yeah, because they would do it right there on the sideline, and they would show it, and then you had that out there. And then on top of it, what happens when that guy tries to get a job in finance 10 years ago, and they start looking back at that stuff? They say, look, you had all these concussions. I don't want you touching any of this stuff. That's the reason why HIPAA is there, so you can't be used against you later in life.
Yeah.
So,
but I'd never thought about that. And he's like, that's why the blue tent's there now. It was always a HIPAA violation. What do you think of RFK Jr.? Some of the stuff he says, it's got me thinking.
You know, that's the thing. It's some of the stuff he says, it's got me thinking. And some of the stuff, has me thinking the other way. If I'm being honest, I don't think it really matters. I think we're down to Trump and Biden. Oh, so 100%. I don't know if I'll spend a lot of time thinking about, like, he says a lot of stuff that I think is progressive. And I like the idea that of some of the stuff he's saying, because I think it's progressive. It's thought provoking. I think we should be taking it. It used to, it's everybody's talking about mainstream versus not. And I just think that that's just a stupid thing. Like, you just take all the information and put it out there. I think that the more we have people opening doors to open brains, the better off the country is.
Yeah. He tweeted today. I guess I've got it pulled up right here.
He's going to be the vice president.
I can find it right here. National Toxicology Program has declared the data supports a consistent inverse association between fluoride exposure and children's IQ. In 52 of 55 studies reveal a decrease in child's IQ with an increase in fluoride.
And every water system in the country's got fluoride, right?
Yes.
It's such an interesting thing because, three quarters of the water in the United States is naturally fluoridated. So we've always known that there's three fourths of the country that isn't too smart. So now we know what's going on.
Right. Right.
I'm just kidding. But it's an interesting thing because there's this magic number with whatever you do. So, I always tell people that you can drown in a swimming pool, but it's hard to drown in a cup of water. And I think what we end up doing is we think fluoride is good. So then we just overdo it. And then all of a sudden we're like, wait, why isn't fluoride good anymore? And I think that that's partially what you're seeing here is that when we were kids, you used to line up. And if you weren't taking fluoride pills, they'd put you out in grade school. And then you'd stand up there. They'd give this awful tasting fluid and you'd swish and spit it and make you sick all day and then send you back to class. Now I start thinking that's what my kids are drinking and eating all day long. What's that really doing? And I think it's quantity with fluoride more than it is. It's not necessarily the devil or something that's going to save us. I think it's just quantity. A little fluoride's good. A lot of fluoride obviously has some negative effects.
What is, I'm going to be really stupid here. Where is fluoride natural and what is it exactly?
So it naturally, you get it from the rocks. So we actually, it's from geology. Like it's a chemical. It's a real based part of a lot of rocks. A lot of your crystals you like looking at have fluoride in it. So it's like calcium or magnesium or iron. It's just there. And it's small amounts. It causes the enamel in your teeth. It's like a thing that the enamel in the teeth can grab onto, and it clicks all those bonds into place, making those bonds really strong. And it does do that. But if I fluorinate anything, it changes the way it works. So if I take a cream and I put a fluoride ion on there, which is an element, then it absorbs through our skin faster, 100% of the time. So the idea that fluoride will change the way that things get into the brain makes sense if we have lots of fluoride. But a little bit of fluoride, our bodies know what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
We just change everything all the time thinking we're so damn smart as people. And we don't ever just stop and think maybe we got used to that over 1,000 years. And so then what you get is you get this huge push of taking fluoride out of everything. And I think, okay, you'll do that and your teeth will rot. Why can't we just stop where we need to and say, this is enough. We don't need more than that. And we just don't do it. So fluoride, you find it, especially so along the Appalachians, they have a lot of fluoride in their stones in the Appalachians. The Rocky Mountains don't have quite as much in them for whatever reason. And then a lot of your streams that come through, any place down the Mississippi Basin all has plenty of fluoride in it. And then the North has a lot fairly, but the West struggles a little bit more, especially down in the deserts. So it's just an element you find. Our bodies know what to do with a little bit. We put a lot and it causes a problem. And it's just like one of those hot topic points where we can't think a little fluoride's fine. We just went crazy. Instead, you have to like pick a side again.
Right.
When I was a kid, Crest, that was our big Crest with fluoride. AIM with fluoride, Colgate with fluoride. Now you don't see fluoride on the package as much anymore.
Well, it's just assumed now, isn't it, that if you buy toothpaste,
it's everything
that it's if you buy toothpaste, it's got fluoride.
Now that
So a toothpaste now the push is to move over to the stuff called hypoxyapatite, and that's what NASA used up in space to help stop bone demineralization, and it helps. Like it's good stuff, but you'll see more tooth decay. But you can't pick up the tail of the snake and not get bit by the front end. So you always pick them up by the head, right? You choose what you want to take. So like that's where I'm at is I think with this fluoride thing, taking it out would be stupid. But I think that maybe we've gone way, 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 way too far.
Now, Andy, you're a water board guy.
Well,
do y'all add fluoride in at y'all substation?
I don't. So we actually went through this a couple years ago. We had a gentleman that overcame cancer, and the way that he overcame cancer, he was taking hydrogen peroxide baths, and he made a big push at one of the meetings, but I cannot remember if it was about fluoride. I want to say that it was.
So do y'all add it to our water?
I don't think that we do anymore. Okay.
So that's what I always wondered. I was mayor for a long time, and I never remember ever getting a bill for fluoride.
Let me ask you about that, because my grandfather, Jeff's dad, died of cancer. We know two gentlemen or three gentlemen, and they swear that food-grade hydrogen peroxide saved their lives from cancer.
The concept there would be oxidation processes. So, yes. So what oxidation is that if you have too many loose electrons in your body, so everything has electrons in it, when it becomes loose, it becomes a radical. And then the free radical means that you've got these little rogue guys that have too much energy, and they're going to come steal things. And when you start stealing from other chemicals, it starts breaking down processes. And the first place they steal from quite often are the easiest targets are going to be things that will end up causing malignancies, things like DNA and all that kind of stuff they steal from. So with a hydrogen peroxide, the concept there would be to reduce the number of free radicals, because the hydrogen peroxide is going to block all those guys that are running around stealing from your DNA and everything else. They're just stealing all these electrons. And so the concept is there. Practically, to say out there this is going to do that is like that's where it becomes a leap. That's where people struggle, is because how does that get into your liver? How does it change? Like it'll make your skin, like it's on your skin, right? But to get it inside becomes a little bit more of a leap. And I always tell people when they do stuff like that, do what you want to do. Like, that's not going to hurt a thing. Go for it. But I wouldn't ever say do that and don't try to do other stuff with the, right, within the medical system too. Like, that's part of being smart. Like, you're like, well, put food grade hydrogen peroxide. I'm like, go for it. You learn something new, go for it. But don't give up on everything else too.
Right. Yeah, these guys were terminal. So, I mean, it was kind of one of those things like,
nothing
to
lose.
What have I got to lose here?
One guy that
I say go for it on things like that.
Yep.
Teach yourself.
Yeah, one guy had a month to live, and he's been here 5, 7, 10 years.
Yeah.
So
hold on. Going back to are you a proponent of fluoride free toothpaste, or do you think that tooth fluoride in toothpaste? I mean, are we getting it everywhere else?
So my kids will have fluoride, and the reason why my kids will have fluoride is because genetically, when I was like 7, I think I had 32 cavities. And so they ended up treating me with fluoride, and then I actually got caps put over the top of my teeth so I wouldn't rot them out as an adult. So I learned from my kids. So for my kids, I can say this, right?
Right.
My kids, we would have had so many dental problems. They would have been walking around with three teeth by now at this point. So my kids have fluoride in their toothpaste because I know our genetics and I know where we're sitting. The hydroxyapatite's good stuff. So if you don't like the fluoride, I don't think you're going to miss a lot by moving over to the fluoride, without the fluoride. Also, I've always thought that, you know, you think you want a smart dog until you get one, and then they're a pain, and you're like, I should get a stupid dog. So if my kids lose a few IQ points, they're just easier to raise because they just fall in line better. So, again, this is for my own children. Right. Like, I'm telling you right now, everybody thinks they want a smart dog till you get one. Then you're like, you know what I need a basset hound that'll sit right here so I don't have to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, that's
a lot of truth to that. What about some of the other things that people – okay, I take ivermectin every 3 weeks. Now,
yeah.
I'm probably fixing to jinx myself, but everybody in my area has had the flu. Me and my wife take ivermectin every 3 weeks as a preventative. We have been very fortunate in the last 2 years. We have not got anything.
Nor river blindness.
Nor nothing.
Well, you know, the funny thing about the ivermectin, and even more cimetidine, so Tagamet is supposed to get rid of stomach acid, but if you take Tagamet at a higher dose, it gets rid of warts because it activates your immune system. So Tagamet was around for, you know, forever. And then all of a sudden somebody decides, let's take 16 times the regular dose. Let's see what happens here. And then you start seeing that it stops the cells. So there's a cell out there called the suppressor T cell. And that cell is supposed to tell your immune system to shut off, don't work so hard. And when you take high levels of Tagamet, cimetidine, those suppressor T cells don't get to do their job as well. So that leads our immune system works harder and better. And then we get rid of warts. And so the idea that ivermectin or any of these others that we've used out there could be have multi-use, that like highlights exactly what I do think, because I think we should be looking at, we should take some serious looks and say, okay, I think there's a ton of usefulness of all the medications we have. And the idea that you box something in and say that's all it's worth, I think that's a silly thing to do. I think we should be looking a lot harder at things.
How's your stomach on ivermectin, Jeff?
It's fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the problem.
It is? Taking too much of it? Yeah.
Oh, well, that's usually I warn everybody, you're going to take this, you're going to have to poop for 3 weeks. So.
Let me tell you, the first time I took it, I had Taco Bell. That was not a good recipe. I was like, ooh, I just wormed myself is what I did. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, I take it every.
That's a tracer bullet.
I take it every month. I take a couple cc's every month and my stomach, I don't have stomach issues.
You're immune to it now.
Whatever, but I haven't had the flu or none of the stuff that y'all have had. And I'm around y'all all the time. Now, I'm sure I'll get it now that I said that, but we're talking 2 or 3 years. Well, I've been on this since 2020. It's 2024 now. I have not had the flu at all. I got Montezuma's Revenge in Mexico for a day, but that was it. I've had zero, been sick at all in the last 4 years. And I don't know if that's just coincidence or not, but I'm going to keep taking ivermectin every 4 weeks.
Well, what it doesn't really, like, you're taking a small dose and you're taking it educated and you've made that choice. So what, why is it anybody's business too? Like, that should be your business, right?
Well, I have a lot of people ask me about ivermectin all the time. And they, I mean, constantly. Yeah. And I tell them that's what I'm on. And I don't know if it's helped for me and my wife. It's helped us a bunch. I think it's helped us a bunch, but maybe it's a placebo effect, but it's working. And so I'm going to keep doing it as long as I keep getting sick on it.
Well, it's supposed to help modulate the way that the immune system works. And I'm going to say supposed to because they're finally looking at it. And there are articles out there that would support that it modulates the immune system. And there's articles out there that say they don't. What I really think is that it's probably going to get down to a lot more better science. And instead of yelling and screaming at each other, take a look at it, say, let's redo this stuff and let's look at it. Because there probably is a population that it will work really well for. And there's probably a population it won't.
Right.
So.
Another question. This is a health question. And this is another one thing that just baffles me. I don't understand in 1973 at Bonham Elementary, we could eat peanut butter and not a kid there was allergic or sick. Today, you can't even walk down an aisle at a grocery store without having a sign up that says peanut allergies on this aisle. Stay away. What happened?
Well, kids are dying too. Like it's like you can't fake it.
But what happened?
So RFK was the one that was talking about it, I think. I think he came out with a list of like 19 or 22
autoimmune issues
items. Yeah, and he came out and said that there's obviously an issue here going on that we're inciting more autoimmune problems. We obviously eat different foods, and that those foods that we eat are now very genetically modulated foods. And that's you can't mess with. I get why we're making corn that doesn't let bugs eat them, but to think that that same corn that kills bugs isn't doing anything to us is kind of a silly concept, yes. Isn't it? Those bugs are pretty tough. And so we've obviously made a change in what we're eating and what we're drinking. And I think it's also pretty obvious that everywhere we go anymore, to find someplace that's not polluted is crazy. It used to be you'd go up in the mountains and there'd be nothing. Now there's garbage every place. We're just nasty creatures, you know? And so I think that there's got to be a combination of a few things. I honestly believe that our immune systems are always pissed off. I think they're just angry all of the time because we're exposed to so much. And I think when you have an angry immune system, it's not a smart group. It ends up causing this issue where it grabs on to new things and says, okay, this is my enemy now, or that's my enemy. It's the way you never let troops sit at port for too long without moving them.
Right.
You know, those guys do their job so good, but you give them too much free time, they're going to cause issues. And I think that's what happens with immune system. I think that we have immune systems that are just angry all of the time because we're always exposing them to things.
There was another thing that I saw that if mothers, when they were pregnant, would have eaten like nuts and peanuts and stuff like that. That there was, I'm trying to remember exactly what it said, but how it would reduce the probability that your offspring that you were carrying at the time would have peanut allergies. I can't.
Well, the more interesting of that is the nutritionist now, the pediatric nutritionist. So when we were kids, they would just chuck stuff at you and say, yes. Eat this. Like they didn't care. It was all the same. And then it would move to like, don't introduce this till this point and this till this point and this to this point. And now, and so you weren't even seeing peanut butter till kids were like three or whatever, right? Now they've moved back saying you should be introducing more foods earlier on, reversing some of those ideas. So I'm curious to see how that plays in even more than the mother thing. Like you didn't give kids stuff and then you're shocked when the first time you give it to them, they're two and they react poorly to it, you know. They're now saying introduce things quicker and smaller amounts and don't be so nervous.
I watched a Netflix special called Rotten, I think was the name of it. And it was about foods. And it was very interesting. They had tuna on there. They had peanuts, almonds. They had all kinds of different foods and the process of it. I'm interested in stuff like that. But the peanut allergy was one of the things they were talking about. And there was a guy on there that was highly allergic to peanuts, but he had started introducing himself to very small doses of it and had built himself up over a 2 or 3 year period where he could take it again. It just blows my mind that in society as a general, when I was a kid, you had peanut butter all the time. Then by the time my kids' kids, my grandkids, you can't even have a peanut butter at school because there's some kid. And kids are legitimately affected by it. I'm not saying it's a fake deal. It's not. It's just crazy that in a short period of 50 years, we have went where it's just that big a population, percentage of our population is allergic to peanuts. And it just blows my mind.
It's all the allergies, too. It's a crazy number of allergies. And then we keep saying, let's not give them more, but there's a lot of doctors now, there's some push there to where they're doing really small doses over long periods of time, and it is working really well. So it's obvious we've messed with our immune system, and I think it'll get worse before it gets better, because we don't really have a lot of cures for anything autoimmune.
No, we don't. Do you see anything of that Gary Brecka, that anyway, he had an interesting video. Alzheimer's is diabetes 3? Type 3 diabetes?
They're talking about the inflammatory processes that takes over long periods of time. Yeah, I've read a little bit about it.
That's crazy to think that it's a form of diabetes is Alzheimer's. The way it affects the brain.
Did you guys see that article though that they just ripped that drug from the market that they were charging, what was it, $56,000 a month? So they came out with this new drug. It was a first in class drug. So the United States government gave them like $1.2 billion to do the research once it came out, and then the company fast tracked it to get it through, which means you give the FDA extra money so it goes through faster. And then they look back at the studies and it doesn't work at all. They were charging people $56,000 a month for a drug that now show doesn't work at all. And the American government paid $1.2 billion for the thing.
What was it? Aduhelm?
Yeah, I think that. Yeah.
On January 31st, pharmaceutical company Biogen announced it was discontinuing its controversial amyloid busting drug. Aducanumab something.
There
I don't
you
know.
Go. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. Like, it's it didn't work at all. They fast-tracked the thing through with charging $56,000 a month. They because it's a first-in-class drug, they received a huge NIH grant for it. You know, it's funny because we talk about these criminals and things that we need to, like, fix.
Yeah.
There's your criminal for you.
Yes.
How many people, like, right there, there's the criminals.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, that was another thing that was crazy about, like, Dope Sick and even some of the things that we've seen now is, like, how these people will be on, you know, Biogen or whatever, and then they'll go take a job with the FDA.
Yeah. Yeah. And vice versa too. Like the people at the FDA know that if they behave well enough for long enough, they'll get one of these big pharma jobs because you don't get paid that well. And so you don't want to make any enemies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's what it was. The FDA guy got hired on with Purdue, I think is how it's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah. And he had all these friends and the next guy at the FDA, you know, and it's not all of them. There's a lot to do it, but they pay him such garbage that they know that that's the movement you go. You work for the FDA, and then you go be a consultant for one of these big pharmas, and that's where your payday is.
Dr. Fauci's wife, she's in charge of the National Health Institute, I believe, or one of those.
I don't know.
They're all hand in hand. But she is. She's got a job with one of the people that's supposed to be overseeing all this bullshit.
Right.
I mean, it's all crooked as crap. How much money profit do you think Pfizer made off of COVID? Profit. In the upper billions. Oh.
So they made I know that on Paxlovid alone from the check from the federal government, just the federal government, just for Paxlovid treatment, they made $10 billion in 1 year.
Yeah, that's
off of just the one.
That's crazy.
And so like the number that they've made has to be insane. Like they have them right now on stand. They have a leukemia drug that they charge $160,000 for a treatment. And they made $22 billion in 1 year. This was Johnson & Johnson. $22 billion in profit. $22 billion in profit. There's 300 million Americans. And you start counting how much that is per person that they made off of that one drug. And then we think we're going to solve our problems by, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty obvious who it is that's getting the money. It seems like there should be a shorter track of finding the people we're looking for.
But. Yeah.
I'm all for capitalism, but also am for people doing the right thing. And these big pharma and our politicians are the ruin of a lot of our, and it's military right. spending, all that crap is the same way. Ukraine, everything we're doing in our government and our politicians are involved. Politicians should not be famous. There's never been a time in the world that a politician is famous like they are now. Nancy Pelosi's ugly ass gets on TV. Everybody knows who she is. Chuck Schumer, the guy in Kentucky, Mitch McConnell. Everybody knows who those people are, AOC, and they shouldn't know that. When I was a kid, you didn't hardly know anyone that was a politician other than the president and maybe the Speaker of the House and your local politician who represented you. Every politician in the country is famous now, and that's a big problem they have. But they're all crooked. And all the, if they did what was right, we wouldn't have had all these. First of all, if the government really wanted to fix things, cancer treatments would be cheap. If they really wanted to right. do what's good for people, cancer treatments would be free. And I'm for capitalism. Johnson & Johnson spend a lot of money to do a lot of things, but they shouldn't make that kind of money off of a leukemia treatment.
But it's not capitalism, because capitalism would be that they come out with the product and then right. you and I, we choose we're going to pay that.
Yes.
But because there's so much government in between, we talk about medicine as being free capital. It's not free capital because they're playing the socialist game from a capital standpoint. They get all of the free capital to make the money, but then they're playing the socialist part of the government in order to make that money. If you came to me and said, we can treat your leukemia, it'll cost you $160,000 treatment. I'm like, I guess I'm dead. Like, I'm not buying it. And then Johnson & Johnson say, well, then I guess we'll charge you $16,000. I'll pay $7,000.
Right.
Okay, deal. That's how capitalism works. What happens now is Johnson & Johnson goes to the insurances that we are mandated to buy and said, this is what you're going to pay. We have to pay the insurance. Johnson & Johnson says, this is just free capitalism. It's not free capitalism because none of us chose to pay any of that money and none of us would. we'd tell Johnson & Johnson to pound sand, and then they would have to drop their price to sell their product. They, you know, I am 100% for free capital. That's why, but what they're doing, they're playing the socialist and screaming that we're, this is free capital
system. Could you imagine if big pharma got regulated the way and got ostracized the way they do the fossil fuel business?
Right. That's where I'm at. That's what we need. We actually need them to be looked at so stringently that, because the oil company, like if my gas goes up, I'm pissed off at the oil company, right? Because I chose to pay that. And you only have so much of a choice, but you make us mad enough. We do something. This, most people have no clue. They pay their insurance. It goes up. They don't know how it works. They just, people get money. They don't even, there's no rhyme or reason to it. So they just like toss their hands up. And then what, 53% of the people now are on Medicare and Medicaid. Like we're way over halfway that's being paid by the federal government for this stuff. Anyway, if the federal government started paying for our gas, we wouldn't care about big oil either, would right. we?
No, that's exactly.
Do you see a tipping point in all of this? I mean, think
we're there.
You think we
I
are?
Think we're done. I think we can't afford it. You look at the GDP, look at how much we produce and how much we spend on medicine. I think we've already tipped over. The thing is I don't think that when we tip, I don't think that you and I and the normal Americans going to even care, because I don't think any of us are getting the benefit. I think that we'll still get the care we're getting. The system will just clean itself out and we'll get rid of the big PBMs, the big insurance companies. We'll start. Johnson & Johnson just won't sell that $22 billion drug because people will just say, you know, I'm 87 and I'm not going to steal from my kids. Let me die.
Right.
I mean, that's what a lot of us would do. If we knew, if you knew the old timer that was getting that leukemia drug, if you would have said this is what it's going to cost to keep you alive for another 2 years, most of those people would have said, you know what, I'm not spending my kids' money. I'll spend a few good months with my kids. I'm not spending that.
Right. Because, I mean, I look at it. Insurance is ridiculous. The deductibles, I mean, they're astronomical. And I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't hardly pay anything. It doesn't hardly, you know, you're pretty much.
No, I've got a $16,000 deductible.
Right.
That's the way my.
And then, you know, I mean, even your kidney transplants anymore, I probably pay cash for it before my insurance kicks in. So, no.
Go to the Congo and get one for $500.
But I just don't know what that's going to look like in America when this finally does tip over. I mean, what's going to go away?
Well, your guy that you see every day, that nurse, the pharmacist, the doctor you see every day, he's still going to be there doing his thing. So the question, like, there are some really good treatments that people have got that they're miracles that have happened. But, you know, you spend $120,000 to replace a hip in an 87-year-old person because the surgeon has room and the hospital makes money off of their insurance. That's what's going to go away. But I'm not so sure that 87-year-old with the new hip felt that much better after they were done anyway.
No, I'm 87. I'm not getting a new hip. What about the COVID booster? Are we done with all that? Are we going to have booster number 9 coming?
Apparently America's done with it. I think it was like 17% of America even get it. So the money's starting to dry up. So I don't see you pushing it, because no matter how hard they push those boosters, they're not selling them. Most of the pharmacies that bought them couldn't move them. I have guys call me all the time and saying, hey, we got extra, do you want them? And I'm always, no, I don't need any of them. And so I think that now that the money's dried up, I think you're going to see them say, well, we'll just start putting it in with the flu shot and it'll just kind of go together and away it goes. I think that the money's gone, so it'll go away.
Do you think that this is just, I want your opinion on this. How many members of Congress and the Senate, I think there's 550 of them, how many of them do you think actually got a COVID vaccine? They're a legit same COVID vaccine that me, you, or Andy would have to go get if we went somewhere to get one.
I'd say half, maybe a little bit more. I'd say about that many did, because there were a lot of people who were legitimately scared. And so because you can put that legitimate fear, it's funny, you believe things that, you know, that they say, they start getting really nervous. So I think about half of them did. I think there's 25% that didn't get anywhere near it. I think you'd be surprised on which 25% that was. I don't think they'll be all wearing red. I think there's quite a few wearing blue that just skirted around.
They sold out. They sold out their constituents. I look back on my Facebook of memories like this time 4 years ago, and I'm going to tell you right now, I was scared to death. I'm fat. I'm overweight. I got all that white fat, not enough brown fat. My ass is dying. I'm going to get that shit, and they're going to have to put me on a ventilator, and I'm going to be dead. I mean, and you look back, and you see all those morgues in New York City, all that temporary shit, and none of it ever come true. Now, one of my friends that's got cancer real bad, he's got COVID right now, And it's just a never, it's a regular deal. Everybody, I mean, oh, JoJo's got COVID. Oh, well, he'll be all right, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's.
Well, COVID, it's a thing. Like, COVID's always been around. Yeah. This was just a unique strain, but it's not unique now because it's been through the whole populace. So it's become ubiquitous. That's the reason why kids did so good, is because kids have never seen any COVID. So the baby that popped out had never seen any of the COVID strains. But that corona type virus has been around as long as the flu, if not longer. It's a teeny virus. It's been around forever. We get probably 30 strains a year that come through. And that one was just supposedly unique enough that nobody in the whole world had ever seen it before. And so because of that, we went crazy. Mm-hmm. And the data will prove, in the long run, the data will prove it. It delayed a lot of deaths, but I don't think it stopped anything in the long run. I think it may have delayed, you know, 2-3 years for people, but I don't know if it stopped a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. The cost benefit was way out of whack.
It's hard to think that they shut down the world. I mean, right? It actually shut down the world where we all stayed home for, you know, in Texas, we didn't stay home as long. We were probably 17 days, maybe. We stayed
home.
Spring
break that never ended.
The spring break, yeah, our grandkids didn't go back to school, or Andy's kids didn't for a long time. But to really think about that, they put something on to make everybody stay home. And it's completely changed the world, because the workforce has never come back. I mean, do you have trouble finding help up there? We talked about this earlier, but is in the town, how big is the town you live in?
No, we got about 120,000 people through all the towns that are all clumped together up here. So
you're in a large city then. Do y'all still do they still have everybody trying to hire people and nobody wanting to work there?
Yeah, it just, you know, I watched a comedian talking about how everything just got a little bit more shitty. like it just, everything just kept going. It's just like, it takes longer to get your food. It takes longer. Everything you get's a little bit worse. Like, everything rolls. It's just, you can't, it's hard to hire. And then, you know, with wages, it's hard. Like, for me, I can only hire so many people, and then I can't afford to hire them even if I wanted to. So you'll just have to wait longer. That's how life is, because I can't hire anybody. So,
yeah. last question, and then we'll start wrapping up here. Is TikTok getting harder?
Yeah, TikTok's a pain right now.
The algorithms.
So TikTok shop. Well, you know, so TikTok, all of the platforms go through these things. I didn't know any of this when I started 2.5 years ago, but they have to start making money from someplace or another. So Meta was data mining, and then they got rid of that. So then Meta had to start doing Meta Shop and doing all the commercials and everything else on there so they could make money elsewhere. And now they're doing okay because they make their money off of that kind of stuff and people boosting their posts. So TikTok blew up, but it wasn't really making any money. It had all the users, it wasn't making any money. So TikTok Shop came out. And so now when you do TikTok Shop, TikTok gets a little chunk back of everything you sell, but then what happens is now you're clogged up the whole TikTok, because now every other post is for TikTok Shop, so then people are getting sold to, and then the number of organic growth gets pushed to the side, and then to keep you engaged, they're going to put the funniest dog video right after the TikTok Shop, and so your views have gone down. But I'm a big believer of putting out quality content over long periods of time that people can use. Mm-hmm. And everything will even out. Like, I'm not really a sprint guy. I'm much more of a marathon guy. So TikTok's kind of a pain that way. And they're trying to, you know, they're under such scrutiny, which I think that it's funny, because everybody, like, it's not like Meta wasn't doing the same thing as TikTok's doing. Right. Like, I think they're all the same, but it's harder right now to grow. I think it's getting really full. And I think that that changed the algorithm in such a manner that you don't get to see what you want to see anymore. And so people get frustrated.
Yeah, it's tough right now. But you're right, though, because, like, I always go back and look at your videos. Like, whenever the kids get sick with whatever, like, I just go to yours, because you've pretty well got a remedy for anything that I'm going to encounter as a parent. So
that you hope.
I can get you through till Monday morning when you can go see your regular doctor, not go to an urgent care. That's the key. Like, why go to an urgent care? Just to get them through till you can see a real doctor.
Right, so. Yeah, like my kid.
No offense to the urgent care doctors out there. They're real doctors, but your doctor knows you.
So. Yeah, you don't want to go, and you don't want to do that. Like, you just want to, like you said, you want to grin and bear it over the weekend and get there on Monday.
It's going to be interesting when we get replacements for these big companies, Facebook and Amazon. Someone's going to come in and knock them out one day.
Sure.
Because Sears Roebuck was the first Amazon. In the early 1900s, everybody bought everything off Sears. They had a a stranglehold on the whole world. If you wanted to buy something in the United States, you bought it off Sears, or you didn't. You couldn't get it hardly. Right. And the same thing will happen with Amazon and Facebook, and it'll change, and we'll get another platform for us. But hopefully the next platform will be a lot more about profit for the people sharing the stuff and you making them than it is the big company.
Yeah, I mean, the content you put out there, you know, you work hard at the content and you hope. But the biggest thing I get out of it, to be honest, is the idea that, Andy, you use my stuff and it helped you. Mm-hmm. Like people that say to me that, I, you know, in the end, that means a whole lot more than mean a dollar. The people that stop and say it worked, I'm like, I'm just glad I helped. Like, and I'm not just saying that, like it really, you won't find happiness by, you're not happy if you're poor. So don't get me wrong on that. You need enough money, but there's, once you hit a certain point, there's not an upper limit where like, okay, now I'm finally happy I have it. But when I have somebody come up and like be truly grateful that I don't know, and they're just like, for real, it makes my day. Like it is so awesome to think that just telling somebody that just mix with that and you'll do better, and then help somebody, that that's worth it. So I hope that keeps rolling.
And now my wife has gotten, she's like, go to your TikTok pharmacist and see, boys have a fever, like go tell, you know, do I need Tylenol or do I need Advil, do I need ibuprofen or acetaminophen, like what's gonna knock this down? So
It's cool that that's out there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You're an incredible resource for a lot of people, and it is always a pleasure to talk to you on here. It's been an hour and a half, and I know you've got probably a store full of people ready to get their drugs. So we're going to let you go. We hope that you have another year of happiness and prosperity. And if there's anything that we can ever do for you, please reach out to us, because you've done a lot for us, and we appreciate talking to you.
Well, you guys keep up the good work. I love listening to you. So don't stop me and you.
Thank you very much. And good luck out there. If you need us, let us know.
Thanks.
Good luck. Be safe. God bless you, my friend. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Very, very good guest.
Yep. He's a
interesting man.
Sharp fella.
Common sense. We need more of that.
Yes, we do. All right. That's all I got.
You got anything else to say?
I got to pee.
Come to Nashville and see us next week. Andy said he'll drink a beer for everybody that buys him one.
You know what's funny?
You're going to do that this year.
No. Finished the carnivore diet, and like I took a month off drinking. I just don't have a big hankering. I used to love my nightly bourbon.
So we're not drinking at all in Nashville.
I'm not saying that. And I don't know how much of it was the month off and how much of it was the month off and then getting the flu 2 days later. I look at my bourbon selection and I'm like,
Well, how did Ski King do? You didn't ski much, did you?
It was awful. First day,
you had the flu the whole time.
Had the flu the entire time. Drove up there on Thursday. I could feel that I was getting something, had a bad headache that morning. Friday was our first day skiing. I did one run. Just run down, chills really bad. And then Saturday I did two runs. The boys were also sick. Reese got sick first. Jameson was sick while we were there. So he would do a little bit and then he'd want to go back to the condo. So I just went back with him. And then Sunday we skied a little bit more, but I just felt like crap the whole time.
So if you could have had your money back to move it back a week, you wouldn't have went.
Yeah, we wouldn't have gone. No, 100%. But couldn't get any of the money.
I thought
back.
You were going to buy a place up there.
Real estate's gone up, Jeff.
A bunch. It's fixing to drop down, though.
It's got to. It's got nowhere else to go.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, in Tahoe, they complained about that.
Real estate?
There's nowhere for nobody to work. There's no employees. And that place is on an island, basically. Right. So it's different because it's a long way to anywhere. But there's no employees nowhere because nobody can afford a house to live in there. And
especially those high rent places. I mean, like
that
Tahoe.
Is a high rent place too. All them California people.
What are you going to do? I mean, if you're waiting tables there,
you can't live. That's what I don't understand, why they don't have man camps there.
Right.
I don't understand, like Harrah's and Caesars. They've got two hotels, the casinos downtown. That's a cool place. Y'all would really like it. They got gondolas that leave straight from downtown, straight up to the mountain to ski. It's unlike anything I've ever seen.
I wonder how hard the skiing is there.
It's a beautiful place. If y'all went skiing there, I'd go. I'd like to ski there. We went to the top of the mountain, snowing and fog, couldn't see shit. But me and mom went up to the top of it.
Somebody was telling my wife about Purgatory. Did you ever ski Purgatory?
No, but it's supposed to be a really nice place too.
They were saying that when their kids were little, they'd always go to Angel Fire. It's easy to get there. 7.5 hour drive. Easy peasy. But as their kids got older, they went to Purgatory because they could handle the little bit further drive. But the skiing was so much better. And it was not more difficult. It was about the same difficulty as Angel Fire, but it was a lot prettier. Runs were bigger.
We went to two places. We went to Tahoe. Oh, I went to a bunch of places. But Tahoe is a beautiful place, and I've seen pictures of Heavenly with the lake down below.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the skiing's good or not, but we went to Park City, Utah, outside of Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. They got that shit going on there.
Right.
That is a nice place to ski, and there's a ton of places to stay. Flying to Salt Lake and go skiing.
Yeah.
But,
right.
You know, I felt bad for y'all because I knew y'all were miserable the whole time. So, anyways, we thank y'all for listening to us. Come see us at Nashville. Be at the Boss Booth. Most all of our sponsors will be there. Go by, say hi. Tell them we sent you there. Talk to you later. Peace. God bless. Have a great day.
Love you. Bye. Watch for deer. Go check out all of our great sponsors. Go check out Pacific Custom Calls. BHP25 saves 25% off at checkout. Boss Shot Shells, MLR Graphics, Dive Bomb Industry, Dirty Duck Coffee, Shin Gear, Looking Glass Podcast, Lucky Duck, Ducks Unlimited, Double T British Kennels, Mossberg, Stanfield Outfitters, Alpha Outdoor Specialties, and Hemp Hill Farm. Use the promo code BHP.